Blog Talk Radio.
New. Good evening, podcast audience. As always, Tuesday night, 7:30, it's time for the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. How you doing this evening, Robert?
I'm doing pretty well, Kenny.
Okay. Again, just a quick reminder, Robert and I are not injury compensation specialists, but we know a lot about the subject. We study a lot about the subject, and we dedicate time to make sure that you know about the subject. So all you have to do is kind of tune in to this podcast or contact Kenny Hodge or Robert Frost at work. And again, we're only sharing with you things that we've researched and information and knowledge we've gained over the years. In fact, we give you the knowledge that we didn't have, so you don't have to go through what we went through, if that makes any sense. There's a lot of injuries taking place recently at work. We've had a situation. When I say at work, I'm talking Columbus, Ohio. We've had a situation where an employee, a mail handler, was injured and seen a doctor two or three times, just not satisfied. So, again, after coming in contact with myself, I explained to her about Elite Medical. And she went to see Elite, and they are now in the process of getting her primary physician changed over to Elite. Again, as we learn of entities that's designed to help employees, and again, no out-of-pocket cost to you at all, we're going to share that information with you. And again, Elite Medical has a injury compensation doctor on staff. Again, that's usually one of the harder elements when you're talking about injury compensation to arrive at, and that is making sure you have a good injury compensation doctor who understands injury compensation, who understands the timeliness and the vernacular in which forms must be written in. So Elite Medical, they have a compensation doctor that's there and will take care of all of that for you. They have complete and comprehensive claims management. So Rob and I were talking before the start of the show, And let me just say to the people, because of the workload involved, once we give you guidance to Elite Medical or any other agency pertaining to injury compensation, they normally take care of everything for you. And when I say take care, I mean make sure you're filing timely. They make sure you're filing the right form. So let me clear that up. When I say they take care of everything, don't just think that they're going to do all your paperwork. They manage your paperwork. You still have to play an active role in making sure you get what you're entitled to. So that's just my opening plug for Brother Antonio Smith and Dr. Nefresca over at Elite Medical, located right here in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Rob, what else has been going on in the world of injury compensation this week at Columbus? Well, wait a minute, hold on. Let me rephrase that question. Hey, Rob, tell us a little bit about what's been going on in Columbus this week.
A couple of things. First, a truck driver subcontractor was struck by a forklift today, this morning. Evidently, it was pretty severe. I don't have any further details on it, just that it was severe enough that he laid out on the floor till the ambulance got there.
Wow. And I know, I think the question was asked, are contract drivers entitled to workers' comp? That would kind of depend on I mean, as opposed to an employee, you're automatically covered. I really don't know, and I'll have to ask that question to find that out. Because we know, go ahead, I'm sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say that might be a good question for Chris and Jenny.
In fact, I'm sending it to them right now.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I've been researching it on and off all day, and I still haven't found a definitive answer. My belief from what I'm reading is no. However, you know, that's subject to interpretation.
Yes, and that would be my initial, if I had to look at the fact of if a contract worker for the post office got injured while in the performance of doing contract work at the post office, would that worker be covered by injury compensation? That would be something, again, interesting question, but we'll definitely find the answer out in about 5 seconds. Hey, but listen, yeah, but you know, and again, even though we talk injury compensation, sometimes we have to throw in safe work practices. You know, safe work practices would be like the precept before the accident, which turns into a concept. But what I'm really saying is if you work safe, you reduce, you don't eliminate, you reduce the possibilities of an accident happening, which causes injury to you, which causes you to now get involved in the injury compensation process. So, you know, you want to work safe, and for some reason, I don't really know the answer to this, but I'm sorry, excuse me. Postal employees sometimes like to do things, I won't say haphazardly, but we want to do them at an accelerated work pace in order to create maybe a little more lag time later. I'm simply saying to you, sometimes when we accelerate that pace, it becomes unsafe, and then you subject yourself to accidents and injuries, and we want to be very careful to stay away from that.
Yeah, I've got 4 examples if you want them.
Sure, let me hear them.
actually riding the bike down to go pick some stuff up front, and passed a gentleman pulling 4 APCs with a jack tractor. Okay.
No, everybody knows the rule on it.
Yeah. All right. That was number 1. Number 2, less than 30 seconds later, his team lead was pulling 4 empty APCs with a jack tractor. And when I waved at him, pointed at him, he just waved me off.
Well, you see, now.
Maybe,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, let me hear the other 2.
I got maybe 50 feet further down the aisleway, and this guy comes out of the dock pulling 3 empty APCs and just ignored me. Okay, he wasn't pushing. He was pulling 3.
So, and I'm sure when he's pulling 3, there was no jack tractor or pit equipment attached to that, was it?
No. Okay. And then I for number 4 was not a visual example. Well, it was visual for me, but it wasn't an actual person. It was an email sent out that reminded me just how dangerous our people are. Working extended amounts of overtime is hazardous to your health and possibly hazardous to the people around you. That's one of the reasons why Terry Morrow has cut back on the overtime. We had people who were pulling 80 hours a week and getting away with it.
Well, now, what's it? First of all, anything that Terry Morrow did is 9 out of 10 times probably not correct. That's just where he and I is That's just where I see him. But you know, let me say this to you, though. In favor of all that overtime is if you are, again, you've got a financial goal you want to reach. Now, let me tell you something. That's not the purpose of the post office, but the fact that they build overtime into their list. Once you condition yourself to those 12-hour days, now let me tell you something. I am way past that point in my life. I am definitely not speaking about me. But there's a lot of folks that go in there can do 12 hours a day, 6-7 days a week. And my hat's off to those guys. To those people. But again, if it's available to you and it's a means to an end, then I could see doing that. I mean, for a little while, I can't see doing it as long as they do it. And if you do work that many hours, let's say you are on that 80-hour of overtime or pay period, that means you're in that building 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Now, if you leave work and have the luxury to just go home, go to bed, get your proper rest, and then come back to work, you can do that for a while. Most people don't have that luxury. So, yeah, excessive hours, it will deaden your senses, and it will, you know, after fatigue sets in, then you're not going to be as aware when you're at work. But sometimes you have to do what you have to do. A means to a short end is what I'm really advocating. But pushing and pulling equipment, I cannot for the life of me understand why we still do that. You know, that just goes to show we have automation coming, AGVs, that is designed to replace mail handler driving routes, and yet we still double up and work not safe, opening the door for accidents and injuries to happen to us in the face of knowing we're about to go through reduction. See, I'm sorry, and I do apologize if anyone finds exception with what I'm saying, but that's just not smart. That's just not smart. You commit safety work violations knowing that your job is about to be reduced. I just don't get that. That one and one is not adding up to me. Even if your job wasn't about to be reduced, and it's going to be reduced, you still should work safe. Work safe guarantees you, well, it doesn't guarantee you, but it increases the possibility of a work career, meaning you can stay there 20 years, 25 years, if you always work safe, and it keeps you away from injury compensation. And again, nothing is absolute, but if you apply safe working principles, and let me tell you something, it is the people, not the agency, because the agency has put out strict policies on what they consider safe work practices. We choose to violate them, and sometimes it opens us up to injuries at work. And again, I know that's another statement that's going to have people saying, yo, what you talking about, Ken? I'm talking about the truth. If the agency tells you in writing, in orientation, to pull one APC manually and you pull two, who's not making smart decisions here? They have instructed you to do the right thing, but what they do, they get kind of slick with it. We instruct you to do the right thing, but we'll allow you to do the wrong thing as long as it benefits the post office and you don't get hurt. Well, you don't get hurt only lasts for so long. You know, but again, you have to work safe. And again, I know we went off on a safe work environment tangent, but again, if you an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, again, so if you practice working safe, hopefully you'll never have to file a CA1 or a CA2. That's my tyrant or my little rant on people. That just kills me. I go on the dock and I see forklift drivers pushing boxes, one on the fork and two on the floor in front of you, and you're pushing it towards, you know, one end of the platform to the next. Now, let me tell you something. I look at you and wave at you, but trust and believe, I'm not going to interfere with that which you choose to do. It's not, that's not my business. You working safe, being a mail handler or being a human being, I'm concerned with. But if you choose to violate, the most I'm going to do is look at you and wave my hand to you. And I hope you understand that wave is the same thing as me saying, come on, man, why are you taking that shortcut? What, you know, why are you pulling four A's? All that is said with a wave of a hand, because I will never look at you and say you're operating your vehicle unsafely. I don't need that level of drama, but I want you to know you are. Hey, listen, I got a couple of questions here. I'm sorry, anything else going on locally, Rob, that we want to talk about on this podcast?
Not that I can think of offhand.
Yeah, and we still process CA1s and CA2s for our workers. Excuse me, we still assist. I see in the last week, I watched two or three employees who probably should have filed CA1s getting hurt at work, but chose not to. Now, let me tell you something. That's a choice you make. And again, if you make the right choice, which is as per postal rules and regulations, report all accidents. But if you choose not to do that, then that's a choice you make. But again, the agency is set up for your protection. The agency is set up that you have a postal career. We choose not to take advantage of it. And I know that we didn't just wake up one day and say we don't want to take advantage of it. We understand that if we follow the actual agency guidelines of report every accident, well, those accidents that you report being a good postal employee will come back to kick you right square in the pockets when you look for a transfer, and now they see you've reported four accidents. So on one hand, the agency encourages you to do the right thing, but on the other hand, they're telling you, if you do the right thing, there's negative consequences that you're going to be exposed to. So most people choose not to do the right thing. But when we talk about workers' comp, again, not trying to give you anything new, but as I always say, this information that we put out will be reiterated time and time again. So when I ask what is workers' compensation, workers' compensation is a state-regulated system which provides benefits designed to help you if you are injured on the job or develop a work-related illness. Now, just when I end that opening statement, you got to understand that workers' comp is your friend. If we had to pick friend or foe, workers' comp is your friend. This is an agency designed to help you. Don't shy away from it. Take advantage of it, because you know how many workers, you know how many jobs wish they had the same federal injury compensation rights that we have as Fed workers? A lot of people. Again, we have the same federal work rights as your congressmen and senators have. You know? Another question is, who do I contact if I have questions about workers' compensation or the benefits? Well, if you're in Columbus, Ohio, or if you hear this podcast, Ken Hodge and Rob Frost always stand vigilantly ready to answer any questions you have and provide you with the best possible guidance that we have. And then you might want to know, do you receive any benefits from workers' comp? If it is determined that your work-related injury or illness claim is compensable under your state workers' compensation laws, you are entitled to receive benefits. And again, if you are injured at work and you are about to have your salary adjusted or reduced because of an on-the-job injury, well, see, that's against the principles of what injury compensation was designed to do. It's designed that you have no interruption if you're injured at work.
Excuse me, Ken.
Yes.
Need to clarify something. You said if the state determines. It's not the state, it's the federal government.
Excuse me. I'll stand corrected. Okay, so that's right. It's FedComp, federal injury compensation. All federal employees have access to it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you might say, well, who pays for these benefits? Because I know most supervisors and most folks in the post office act as if injury compensation is coming directly out of their paycheck. They hold on to those CA-1s and that CA-16 as if it was a mortgage payment. Well, employers who do not pay for benefits themselves usually purchase workers' compensation insurance to cover the benefits. So in other words, workers' comp is the insurance that the post office is latched into to cover these benefits. So your supervisor does not pay injury compensation. Workers' compensation is not part of their yearly merit, their budget, or whatever else you want to call it these days. It is a federal program that the post office is going to pay into regardless if you get hurt or not. So it's a benefit that comes with the job, and it is available to you to use whenever the need arises, however many times the need arises. So, again, don't be afraid to report your injuries. Now, I have to say, don't be afraid to report your injuries, knowing full well that it's a good possibility that because you follow postal rules and regulations, it may haunt you if you want to change crafts, you want to transfer, because I've been a part of several transfers that have been denied because they say the employee had an accident, when in fact, the employee who was denied a transfer, the only accident she ever had is she reported an accident and requested no medical attention. Not even a CA-1 was filled out. But because she reported it, it was in her records, and that held her back from a inner office transfer. Now, let me also say this happened in Columbus, which means it probably wasn't done correctly. But I just want to make you aware that if you follow postal rules and regulations and report these accidents, don't be surprised if they use your same obedience to their guidance to hinder you or put up an obstacle when you try to transfer. Can I see my own doctor or change the doctor I am treating with? Well, that's an interesting question because we are currently in the process of doing, not we, but that is taking place right now. There was a mail handler at work who got injured and was seeing an injury compensation doctor two or three times and was not satisfied. I introduced her to the phone number, and the concept of Elite Medical, and she is currently in the process of working with Elite to get transferred over to their facility. So, again, that's an entity that's here in Columbus designed to help you. And what I was trying to get to earlier is they have a fully comprehensive claims management. So once I put you in touch with Elite, everything involving your case, you should direct to Elite. A lot of times I know you get very comfortable working with Robert and myself, but once you start to, once you're satisfied, and I only can say satisfied with Elite at this current time, because again, they have claims management, they have rehabilitation. Once you're satisfied there, then that's where all your communication pertaining to your claim should go. Because sometimes if you continue to involve myself and Robert in that loop, what will happen is sometimes you'll send Rob and I information that you should have sent Elite. So again, once we put you in contact with Elite or any other organization that has 100% comprehensive claim management, then you know you want to shy away from sending Robert and I information and make sure, I mean, you keep your copy, but you make sure you communicate with Elite and not so much Kenny and Rob. Would you agree with that, Robert?
Yes, up to a point. The reason I say that is because Elite does not have all the answers. And if you're unsure about something they tell you, please feel free to talk to me. I may not have the answer, but I'll do my best to find it. And if the elite gives you the correct answer, I'll tell you they gave you the correct answer.
Okay. I mean, you know, that puts it in a different light, but I have to co-sign what you just said. And again, at any time, you can contact us for guidance. But when you start sending, particularly me in this case, a lot of your paperwork and documents, sometimes you send me information that you should be sending to your treating physician. But, you know, we're here every Tuesday night at 7:30 for questions. Our phone number is probably plastered all over the post office. So, again, getting in touch with us is not difficult. But, again, I still want to say make sure that your first contact after you're satisfied is with Elite. And if you have questions, then we are still available to assist and find out for you. What do I do if I receive a bill from my doctor? Before I read you the book answer, Robert, you seem to have some experience in this. Tell me, what would you do?
My first reaction every time I get a bill, and I do still occasionally get bills from various places, is I call my claims examiner at the workers' comp and say, look, I've got this bill. Where do you want me to send it? And they always tell me, send it to me. So if you get a bill, it needs to go to your workers' comp claims examiner, not your HRM. It needs to go directly to your workers' comp claims examiner.
See, but through trial and error, Rob and I will be the first to tell you how not to get a bill. And that's, it's simply said, but in the heat of the moment, not often done. When you go to the doctor or to the hospital with a CA1, your medical information is not important to them. And you make it not important to them. You on that CA1 and that CA16, that shows how they're going to get paid. If your claim is processed properly right from the initial emergency room visit or doctor's visit, and you are given them postal injury compensation forms, then your medical information won't get recorded and you won't ever get a bill. Would that be correct, Robert?
Close. The ambulance, if you go by ambulance, will send you a bill regardless. But otherwise, yeah, with that CA16, you should never get a bill. The only reason you would get a bill is one of the first questions every emergency room, clinic, doctor, any medical professional is going to ask you is, who's your insurance company? If you give them the insurance company's name, they're going to send you bills. Give them the workers' comp information. Now, I will be the first to say sometimes workers' comp is really slow about getting things settled, not bill-wise, but getting you your claim number, approving your claim, all right? And if you're hurt badly enough, you don't want to wait. If you don't want to wait and go through your regular insurance, that's your choice. My recommendation is always only give them workers' comp information. Never give them your personal insurance information.
Hey, and that's going to
workers' comp, you've got to be out.
Right. Again, if at all possible, if you don't have to surrender any of your medical information to the doctor or the treating physician, then they can't send you a bill. And if you have the proper paperwork, CA1, CA16, the CA16 is the check, then they're not concerned so much with your medical information because they know they're going to get compensated. It's usually when the postal person who takes you to the emergency room don't provide the necessary paperwork as they should, then they have to revert back to your medical information. Hey, listen, that's our podcast for this evening. Again, every Tuesday, 7:30, Ken Hodge, Robert Frost. We go live to try to bring you information pertaining to injury compensation so that should the unfortunate event of an accident should happen to you, at least you'll have a good set of guidance or a good indication of what you need to do to ensure you are properly compensated and given rehabilitation to put you back where you were before the accident at work happened. So, good evening, podcast audience, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Good evening. Good night, Rob.
Good night, Ken. Good night, audience. Thanks for listening.
All right. Later, man. I thought you were left on me, man.
No, I was still here. I was just waiting for you to finish.
All right. Okay, that's it for tonight. Talk to you next week.